Ah, the days are getting longer. It's warming up out there. Time to take a restful walk with the one you love spending time with. Our theme this week is rest in all of its many forms. A good book, a Sunday afternoon ball game, a meditative prayer. I'm Andy Steves. We're looking at times of rest here on Coolsville. A few restful quotes to start us off. I've always found a cure for the blues is wandering into something unknown and resting there before coming back to whatever weight you were carrying. Diane Sawyer. And snow. Snow is not my enemy, I tell him. Snow is God's way of telling people to slow down and rest and stay in bed for a day. And besides, snow always solves itself, mixes with leaves to form more earth, I tell him. That's Robert Fulghum in his book, All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, to the Man Next Door. That last quote, where I work, we have snow days. When school is snowed in, so are we. I find that so nice. Well, maybe not this year. On a snow day, especially an unexpected one, you wake up with the cares of the job on your mind and heart, and then, poof, let's go back to bed. There's a song by a Christian band called Jars of Clay. Not a Christian song as such, more a romantic little ditty. I don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to go out in the snow. And it's called Hibernation Day. And it sums up the rest and relaxation of a snow day brilliantly. Home should be a place of rest. Unfortunately, I have been in relationships where that has not always been the case, where I would stay at work longer to avoid the chaos of home. I am blessed and happy to say that is not my current situation. As I get more advanced, I understand what a fallacy the old saying, I'll sleep when I'm dead, is. When I first started my current job over a decade ago, I was living alone and had few outside friends. So when the Christmas break came, I was somewhat depressed. It was 2 weeks of nothing. Didn't even put up a tree. I couldn't wait for the holidays to be over because back then I found work to be fun. And while work still has its moments, it is quite a bit more chaotic these days. Plus, I have a significant other and a generic cat to hang with. My life now confirms the fact that while work still has its pleasant days, when I retire, the Help Wanted ad goes into the job bank the next morning. I now look forward to holidays, snow days, and vacations with great zest. Let's look at our first song this week, back to 1966, with a group called The Lovin' Spoonful and a song called Daydream. They were on a 19-day tour through the American South with the Supremes. Lead singer John Sebastian was feeling depressed because he missed his girlfriend, so to cheer himself up, he wrote the song, What a Day for a Daydream. The song hit number one in Canada. Good taste in music, these Canucks, huh? It became one of the Spoonful's biggest hits. You might remember a big solo hit song for John Sebastian in 1976 called Welcome Back. It was the theme for Welcome Back, Cotter. You know, welcome back, your dreams were your ticket out. That's where John Travolta got his start as Vinnie Barbarino. Our next song came from a songwriter named Jack Temchin, who would go on to write mainly with Glenn Frey after the Eagles broke up. Songs like You Belong to the City and Smuggler's Blues. He also wrote the song Slow Dancin' Sway Into the Music for Johnny Rivers. This song from which I speak, though, was from 1972, and it was one of the Eagles' most popular tunes. Glenn Frey was on lead vocals, and for me, the song really lived up to its name. Peaceful, easy feeling. Sounds like a country tune, but the harmonies by Bernie Leadon and Randy Meisner give it that folk feeling. Moving on, one of my most funnest things about rest came from a cartoon. I'm a sucker for Looney Tunes, and the Bugs Bunny cartoon Transylvania 65000 was hilarious. Bugs makes a wrong turn at Albuquerque and finds himself at a castle owned by a vampire, Count Blood Count. The Count is trying to get Bugs to fall asleep so he can, well, you know. He tells Bugs that, Rest is good for the blood. The cartoon title was a play on the song titled Pennsylvania 65000 by Glenn Miller. It was his girlfriend's, who eventually became his wife's, phone number. Back then, you had to call the operator to tell her what number you were calling. You're listening to Coolsville, where this week it's time to put your feet up, throw on your favorite tunes, and talk about one of my favorite things to do. Rest. I'm Andy Steves. The next song probably would have been a number one song in the United States, but the president of ABC Records, Larry Newton, didn't like it and refused to promote it. Talk about cutting off your nose to spite your face. The song was What a Wonderful World. Yeah, that one. By Louis Armstrong. The song hit the top of the UK charts when it was released in 1968, but it didn't chart in the States until 1999, when it was part of the soundtrack to the Robin Williams movie Good Morning Vietnam, and then it only made it to number 32. The ABC president, Newton, tried to stop the recording session and was kicked out. As a result, he refused to promote the record. He had wanted something upbeat, like Hello Dolly. Satch took the recording session in stride, even after the session had to be stopped twice because the recording studio was too close to the train tracks and the train kept going by.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
The song gets the last laugh, and so did Pops, as What a Wonderful World was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1999. Louis Armstrong had many nicknames, by the way, including Pops and Satchmo, which is short for satchel mouth. Apparently, he liked to talk a lot, so they said his mouth was as big as a briefcase or a satchel. Thus, the nickname Old Satchel Mouth, or shortened to Satchmo, or just Satch. So I really think that we wouldn't be truthful if we said that we never get overwhelmed. Hey, it's part of the human condition. I used to stew in my anxiety, and honestly still do at times. I find myself lately when I get overwhelmed, though, this psalm from the Bible pops into my head, and at most times, I find rest. If you've ever gone to Sunday school as a kid, you'll know which one I mean. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. King David wrote this psalm. It reminded him and me that in life or in death, in times of plenty or want, God is good and worthy of trust. The psalm uses the metaphor of a shepherd's care for his sheep to describe the wisdom, strength, and kindness of God. And though it's really just the first part that talks about rest, I find tranquility in Psalm 23. It's a great one to meditate on. I knew this next song was popular, but I didn't realize it was famous to this degree. Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy won 3 Grammy Awards. The year was 1988. Bobby was visiting his jazz duo friends, Tuck and Patty, in San Francisco, and they had a poster of Indian mystic Meher Baba with the words, Don't worry, be happy on it. McFerrin was inspired by the expression's charm and simplicity. He wrote and recorded the song for his album Simple Pleasures, and it was included in the soundtrack of the movie Cocktail. The tune is a cappella, just Bobby's voice overdubbed with no instruments. Don't Worry, Be Happy was the first a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard charts. The 3 Grammy Awards were the Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best Male Pop Vocal Performance. I think this song continues to strike a chord with people. It's infectious, very feel-goodish. In fact, an unnamed critic called the tune a formula for facing life's trials. Our last song comes from the most popular band in the history of pop music. the Beatles. In their history, each individual Beatle had one song in which the other Beatles did not appear. Though written by John Lennon for his son Julian, it was Ringo who sings vocals on the song Good Night. The song appears on what has become known as the White Album, with producer George Martin arranging and conducting the orchestra. Backing vocals for Good Night were provided by the Mike Sam Singers. John coached Ringo through the vocals, and Paul McCartney said Lennon rarely ever showed his tender side, but he did with the song Good Night. He said that side of John will always remain with him. My favorite version of the song? Listen to Manhattan Transfer's version on their Christmas album. Fantastic. Great harmonies. Well, that's it for a restful episode of Coolsville. I'm Andy Steves. Thank you for your comments. You've dropped people. I love that. Don't be afraid to be constructive. Kudos going out to Upbeat for the music I use. Thanks to all the individual creators on that site. Keep sharing us on Facebook. And if you're not following on Spotify, get the free version and hit that follow button, people. May all your pastures be green and waters be still. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Coolsville.